This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. Every week, author, speaker, consultant Mark AmTower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. AmTower Off-Center with your host, Mark AmTower.
Welcome to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Mark AmTower. My guests today are Larry Allen of Allen Federal and Cameron Luthy of Bloomberg Government. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
Thanks, Mark.
Larry, welcome back. Cameron, this is your first time on my show, so please tell people who you are, what you do, and where you hail from.
I'm a senior budget analyst at Bloomberg Government. I spent almost 7 years at Booz Allen before that, and before that, I was in the federal government at DOD and OMB.
Okay. OMB, I'm assuming you had something to do there with what you do now.
Yeah, where are the dollars?
Where are they?
How fast are they being spent? Are they being spent wisely? All that good stuff.
And now you're reading the tea leaves for the contracting community.
You got it.
Thank you so much. we need that. Larry, do you want to remind people who you are, what you do? I don't know if any of my listeners need that.
Well, quickly, Mark, I run Allen Federal Business Partners, and we work with companies on ways to improve their government business. I am a professional contractor problem solver.
There you go. And Larry is 19 years past president of the Coalition for Government Procurement, and before that, he did a little time, hard time on the Hill.
On the Hill.
amongst other things. Mm-hmm. So this is a end of FY kind of gig here today. And recently the news is we're going to have a pretty extraordinary spike for end of FY. And I want to know, first of all, why? And then where's the Buc-ee's going to go?
Well, Mark, I think from a why perspective, it's pent-up demand. You know, we saw a tremendous amount of uncertainty at the beginning of the fiscal year. We had layoffs, government closure. We had the fallout from last year's impounding of funds through sequestration. So that left people on their back heel to begin with, both fiscally and attitudinally. So now we're seeing that the government still needs to buy things, products, services, to meet its critical missions. And they have been not doing a lot of buying since the first quarter of this year. So we're looking for a big quarter now.
Okay. Cameron, you've got a deep dive here dollar-wise. So please share what you can.
Sure. So we've been looking at the historical patterns that Larry alluded to. And of course, there are a lot of federal agencies that's the norm, spend a lot in the fourth quarter. But I think Larry's absolutely right that the unique circumstances of the last 2 years exacerbate, if you will, that trend of putting a lot of money on contract in Q4. The other thing that a couple of little things that we've begun to see, you all know that the government's been shifting more and more work to multiple award contracts as opposed to single award.
Right.
Well, it turns out that MACs are even more of Q4 kind of a pattern.
Okay.
Than single award. And that's interesting because, as you know, if you do it as a weighted average, that's pretty important.
Is that because the 1102s have an easier access to the MACs, Larry?
Well, that's part of it. Certainly easier access. These are ready-made contracts with companies that have already been vetted for their responsibility. You can conduct a task order acquisition against a standing contract in a fraction of the time it takes you to start a contract from square one. So they do become very popular, and a number of these also have capability to do some sort of small business set aside.
Yeah, and those are built into some of the multiple award contracts where it's a certain percentage of the total is set aside for small business. So it's sort of a built-in when agencies are getting towards the halfway through the year and they're nowhere near meeting their small business goals. Boy.
Well, especially last year after the first time, apparently, or allegedly, they all made it. And I'll stick with allegedly, actually.
So yeah, absolutely. It's a lot easier, as Larry said, than launching something new. And there's another advantage to that that Larry and I were talking about before we went on the air, which is if we're headed for a continuing resolution, which I think Larry and I both agree,
yes,
is the what's going to happen October 1, the government's not going to be have full year funding. Well, being positioned on a Mac, no new starts are allowed.
Right.
Under a continuing resolution, but a new task order on a multiple award contract usually doesn't constitute a new start. Have I got that right?
You've got that right. And also, one of the things, in addition to task orders that still get done, is if you have a recurring service package, if you have some sort of a subscription service. And for example, Mark, we're starting to see some of the cloud providers sell cloud solutions based on a subscription service model. So those are the types of things that can extend across fiscal years. They're nice to put in place now.
So they saw the Microsoft Office thing go to annual subscription.
Right.
And they go, oh, this is cool.
Right.
Oh, Lord. So what do you have any specific multiple award contracts that seem to be more popular than others? I would assume that that Soup's still up there for the
Absolutely.
IT side.
Soup's R23G with the Army up in Eatontown, the CERDEC, CECOM, you know, communications, electronics folks up there. T4, I never know how to pronounce it, Larry, ITES.
ITES.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, version 2S
yes.
now.
Yes, mm-hmm.
The 8A STARS 2 vehicle.
STARS is alive. Yay.
STARS is not only alive, Mark, but, you know, to Cameron's point, STARS does an amazing amount of business at the end of the fiscal year.
Cool.
Because it's small business and it's a Mac.
Okay. Now, let's back up here. STARS, last time I saw, had 599 contractors. I'm assuming there's been some attrition and maybe even some additions. Is that still going to, like, those top 25? Do we know this yet?
I would defer to Cameron for specifics, but as a general rule, I think it is the 80-20 rule. You get 20% of the companies doing most of the business.
And that's a pattern across a lot of Macs. It's deflating to companies who get on a Mac and think that they're going to have access to a significant amount of revenue, and then the big boys are hogging it all.
Well, it's not simply the big boys hogging it all. You know, when you have a contract, it's still incumbent upon you to market it, to let people know you have it, and to let people know your areas of competency. And some people just sit there like getting a GSA schedule. Larry, we've seen this for, what, 30 years?
At least.
Wait for the phone to ring.
Yeah, just wait for the money to fall in their lap. And as you know, in a lot of cases, you have to compete for those task orders. It's not automatic.
Right. So
now you have to do extra business, extra work to actually get the business, whether it's the end of the fiscal year or any other time of year. Merely having the Mac award doesn't get you anything except for a nice certificate of action that allows you to move forward. So.
Okay. Is Alliant on that list too? Because GSA's been pushing Alliant heavily.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really glad you brought that up. You know, they've got a pretty consistent pattern over the last couple of years, and they're doing, you know, in past years, somewhere around 40% to almost 50% in Q4.
Alliant?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. So it is easy. So, you know, lesson number one here is get on a Mac.
Yeah. but as Larry said, don't stop then.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can't stop, but, you know, you got to be on the boat to go anywhere. you know, then it's up to you to move up to the upper decks.
So you don't want to stay in steerage, Mark?
Preferably not.
Okay.
Wow. What are you got any other contracts there that are absolutely
Sure. There's some that, you know, I think people, there have been issues associated with if you want to maximize profit, some people complain about Seaport E, but there's a lot of money there that's going to be moved on that vehicle in Q4. DOD's big log cap is still, you know, I mean, people think, oh, well, we've made a decision to reduce the number of troops in Afghanistan, so log cap is gone. Not yet.
No.
Not by a long shot.
There's still a bit of logistics work to do, boys and girls.
In fact, it'll lag. You know, we'll bring home the troops first before the money comes down on that contract.
Yeah.
I mean, it's coming down, but not at the same rate.
Holy cow. All right, we're going to take our first break. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Back after these messages with Larry and Cameron. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests today are Cameron Luthy of Bloomberg Government and Larry Allen of Allen Federal, and I am Mark AmTower because nobody else volunteered. Gentlemen, okay, so we know this spike is coming and it's going to be nice. Which agencies and what are they buying?
Well, Mark, I think from a general perspective, it'll be some of the usual suspects who are going to do the buying. So it'd be the service branches, Navy, Air Force to a lesser extent, the Army, certainly the OSD function inside the Department of Defense. And then some of the constituent organizations at the Department of Homeland Security will do some good buying, Customs Border Protection perhaps. I'm sure Cameron has some specific figures on that. The other two that I would mention, VA, Cameron alluded to in our previous session, there's a lot of business that's scheduled to flow through the VA's T4 contract. And then my sleeper is always the Department of Agriculture because, you know, not everybody thinks about that, but that has one of the biggest IT budgets in the government, and it goes to all 50 states. So people may not always think that that's a big buyer of things like technology. They may think, well, you know, FDA inspections and hog food and grain report, but there's a lot of other things that that department does as well.
Okay. Cameron, you want to pick that up?
Sure. So as Larry said, there are some usual suspects. Included in that group are the State Department and AID, which tend to put a lot of their money on contract in Q4. HHS is another one in that category of putting a lot of money on contract in the fourth quarter. And transportation, too. And some of that has to do with the unique nature of transportation. The highway, building season is different. It's less in the winter, more in the summer, those kinds of things. So that's a factor. And, of course, they're being whipsawed by the never-ending debate about their reauthorization as well.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, the infrastructure there needs help in a bad, bad way, you know, probably every state.
Yeah.
So, the simple fact that they're arguing about it baffles me. What about commerce, particularly NOAA and Census? I mean, I've heard rumblings that they're already ramping up for the next census, and NWS has got the strangest weather patterns going.
Well, NOAA is always a good place to look for business because of, you mentioned, the weather and the fact that they need to stay on the cutting edge of technology, as well as they need some help in terms of services from organizations outside their department. So that's always a good opportunity. In terms of other people in commerce, you know, that an agency that's in a little bit of transition in terms of the IT world because they've lost some senior CIOs.
Simon. Right. Simon's leaving town.
Right.
Well, not leaving town, but.
Leaving commerce. Right. And so anytime you have that type of leadership change, that can lead to a hiccup, especially now as the administration and some in Congress are pushing hard for CIOs to take more of a role in IT acquisition, not just management. So I have to see about that. But certainly, you know, everybody would be happy to get a piece of the census pie, Mark.
Yes, yeah, that's going to be a big pie. And, you know, Simon's a bit of an anomaly because he's stayed for several years, much longer than the normal tour of duty, as it were.
Yes.
So he had a tremendous impact there.
Tremendous impact, and his timing, even though he stayed for a long time, his leaving comes at a time when a number of agency CIOs have also gone on. And then recently we've seen the head of acquisition for DHS, Nick Nyack, who had been around for an awfully long time, announce his retirement. So, everybody's replaceable,
mm-hmm.
Even me, especially me, but it takes some time.
You're replaceable? I beg your different. What's cooking here?
Well, we've tried a little bit of a new approach. You know that OMB does estimates of obligations by these big buckets. They call it object class.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to us that, right, federal procurement data is in terms of obligations, money put on contract. So we started looking at just historically what the estimates were for obligations and then comparing it to what really happened. And, of course, that doesn't break it out by quarter, but it does start to give us a way to look at what is more likely to be bought in Q4. And one of the things that, you know, is a real dough, Homer Simpson, is DOD facilities restoration maintenance. They always put that in the fourth quarter. They rob it in Q1, Q2 for operational requirements, and then if there's money left at the end of the year, they put it on contract. So that's another place. I know Larry's seen that. DOD, of course, is unique because some of the money is available for 2 years for R&D, 3 years for most of the procurement accounts, 5 years for shipbuilding. You know, that's another story. But a fair amount of R&D money is put on contract in Q4, and that can include the management of R&D efforts. So it's not just the bench mm-hmm. testing and all of that. It's management. So the firms like CACI and SAIC and Booz Allen and companies like that are in that game as well.
Okay, so they're heavily vested there. How much are they going to be impacted when and if DOD actually starts to downsize?
Well, you know, Larry, you can speak to this as well, but I think a lot of companies have already sort of built that into their strategic business plans.
Mm-hmm.
They know it's coming.
Right.
Anybody who saw how quickly the Congress rejected the administration's little extra money for the Opportunity Growth and Security Initiative, I mean, that went nowhere. You know, the caps are where they are. And you know, we talked about the possibility of the Senate switching to the Republicans earlier, and that
yes.
doesn't bode well for more money
we
for
didn't
anybody.
Do that on air, but
yeah.
Well, and I think that's right, at least in terms of some of the top-tier contractors, Mark, the ones that do the forecasting,
mm-hmm.
and yet we talk to companies that are maybe smaller and mid-sized firms who may do a lot of business, for example, with the Navy. And they are forecasting that they're going to grow their Navy business by a double-digit amount for next year. My response to that is, really? Because, you know, are you looking at the same numbers that everybody else is looking at? Are you looking at, forget the numbers for a second, are you looking at the headlines that talk to you about what DOD as a whole is doing in terms of holding its budget? There needs to be, I think, a reality check in a lot of these companies, whether you're a numbers person or not. If you're projecting double-digit growth in a stalled market,
you better be in the right place. If you think that's you better be in cyber. You better be in autonomous vehicles. You better be in unmanned vehicles. If you're in some unique sort of service offering that revolves around enhancing the capabilities of other countries, that you know, those, there are pockets of growth in DOD, special operations community, but you can't just assume you're going to keep going the way things have been.
Yeah, though, and everything you mentioned is a very specialized area, so it's not for a, you know, if there is such a thing, a generic contractor.
Well, right. So if you don't do those things, then you should be looking at buying somebody who does.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think that's another topic that we could devote an entire show to on mergers and acquisitions.
Maybe we should.
Yeah, and throw divestitures in the mix.
Right. So is it too late for smaller and mid-sized companies to queue up if they haven't gotten in line for these dollars yet?
I don't think it's too late, Mark, but it's important to understand what size of deals are really out there right now. You're not going to be looking at any enterprise-wide type of opportunities. Those are the ones that get planned, and even though they may be executed now, if you haven't been part of the process till now, you are facing a very steep opportunity curve. So medium-sized projects, things that will come out at the end, we're going to see an awful lot of activity at the in September. So by no means is it too late, but you're going to have to be very specific about what you're looking at. Pick a couple of agencies, I think, to go after. Don't try to be everywhere at once. And realize that you can get fairly happy on medium-sized and smaller deals.
Okay, let's pick this up after the break. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, back after this. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests are Cameron Luthy of Bloomberg Government and Larry Allen of Allen Federal. You can find Larry at allenfederal.com, and you can find Bloomberg Government at bloomberggovernment.com.
You betcha.
There you go. And I suggest that you do both. Larry, the small to mids that are not part of these enterprise-wide things, I mean, number one, they should focus on the agencies that you guys were talking about before, because that's most likely where the majority of the funds will be spent.
Yes.
Are there specific agencies that perhaps are going to be spending radically less?
Well, less, I think, you know, you're going to be looking at the Army mm-hmm. and the Marine Corps spending less inside DOD for some of the obvious reasons. We're drawing down operations overseas. Some of the agencies that maybe have fallen out of favor with either the administration or commerce, so perhaps education might be one that's not going to be as hot as some of the others. Conversely, if you're looking at ones that are in law and order, ones that are national security mission oriented, those are going to be the ones that have the opportunities. But if you're looking at a generic agency that doesn't have a searing front burner mission, then you might want to look at one that does.
And related to that, I think there's the point I think we talked about a little bit earlier is there's this risk-averse behavior on the part of both program managers and contracting officers, and that includes anything new. It's I don't want to stick my neck out. I don't want to get a front-page headline. I don't want to, risk getting in trouble, so I'll just keep going the way things are.
Okay. So, but the risk-averse behavior has been with us as long as I can remember.
Well, risk-averse behavior has been certainly one of the characteristics of this market for at least the last 3 years. And if you're a small business, one of the things that you need to understand is how you can generate the trust with that shy contracting officer or program manager to make sure that they get that warm and fuzzy feeling about talking to you. If you're a low-risk provider and a small business, then those are two big marks in your favor. If, on the other hand, you don't have a big track record, it's going to be awfully difficult for you to compete at this time of year with someone who does.
Okay.
And that includes, I'm sure, you the past performance data.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So the direction that we're going in here is just a huge spike for September, August, September. What about October? I mean, you have mentioned the more than a passing possibility of a CR. We're facing midterms, which, you know, usually in Congress means punt.
yes.
You know, because there's a rash of insufficient body parts there.
What did Teddy Roosevelt say about somebody that had all the backbone of a chocolate eclair?
Well, there you go.
Well, Mark, I think we're going to, you know, you heard it here first, or if you didn't hear it here first, at least you heard it here. We'll start FY15 under a continuing resolution. It actually had looked hopeful just 3 weeks ago that we might not start with a continuing resolution, at least not for every federal agency. We had, and I'm sure Cameron will talk a little bit more about this, the Senate minibus, as it was called, cobble together appropriations for some agencies, but that kind of gotten derailed right now. So we're looking at a best case scenario, I think, of having a DOD military construction and DHS appropriations for the start of the FY15 fiscal year and everybody else on a continuing resolution. And depending on the outcome of the midterm elections, for example, if the Republicans do take control of the Senate, the chances for there being some sort of omnibus appropriations bill in calendar 15 are much greater than if the Republicans don't take control of the Senate. Then you might have an opportunity for an omnibus before calendar 14 runs out.
Yeah, I think that's the way we look at it at Bloomberg. I think the most likely outcome is a CR that runs through until after the election for the entire government. One of the reasons that we think that even though Milk on VA is popular, easy to pass, if you peel off the ones that are easy, it's harder to put together a package you can get enough votes for in the House. So that's the other reason we think that they'll just put the whole thing off until after the election. Then comes the scenario that Larry described. Do they do something before Christmas or do they kick it over to the next Congress? And that's obviously a problem for business because under a continuing resolution, no new starts are allowed.
Right. And that simple fact of life.
It's a simple fact of life, Mark, and it is accurate, and you will find agencies that adhere to it. However, since we have been operating on continuing resolution mode for the last, 6 years now, federal agencies, I think, have had a successively more narrow definition of what constitutes new. For example, if you look in the construction industry in some parts of the Washington area, it's not new construction if you leave one wall of an old house standing, even though it looks remarkably like a new house to everybody else. I think that we are going to be looking at the same types of things in federal agencies where it's not new because it was technically tacked on to something that existed, but in fact, most of it might be construed as new to the naive passerby.
Right. We've seen task orders appended to contracts that are, shall we say, sort of beyond scope before.
A modification.
But then, if you're the contractor performing this, I've seen an uptick in, correct me if you haven't heard the same thing, I've seen an uptick in IGs and others coming back, auditors coming back and not paying the contractors because that was out of scope. Now, that's a huge issue if it's real.
It's a huge issue, and you have to really be careful as a contractor that you've got everything in writing from the contracting officer, not the COTAR or the Corps or the PM.
Or a verbal,
that's right, because of, remarkable lack of memory. So if you're going to be doing something in terms of an addition, it has to be signed by the responsible warranted contracting officer. And then I think you might have an easier time even if someone subsequently challenges it. So in select agencies like the VA, while contractors have traditionally been the group that the VA IG likes to beat up on, they now have other fodder that they are going after. So it doesn't say that contractors are off the hook, merely that there is a different emphasis.
That brings up another point. VA is sort of a special animal because they get some money a year in advance. So in the 14 appropriations bill, they got their 14 money, and then they got money for 15. So they're a little more flexible under a CR.
Okay.
Which can be good because they're one of the top buyers, particularly in technology, but also in things like healthcare, pharmaceuticals, medical equipment, things of that nature.
Medical supplies, all of those.
Okay.
And temporary staffing.
Temporary, you know, I've seen an uptick in the number of companies that at least call me for, marketing advice on temporary staffing. And maybe it's been there forever and they're just getting more aggressive.
Well, it depends on the type of temporary staffing. Here I was talking about medical staffing, but the larger point, Mark, is a good one. We've always seen a certain amount of background noise in the federal market about temporary staffing, and it's kind of the poor stepchild of the services that you can buy or provide in the government, because it's the type of stuff where people tend to look at it as not specific to any particular mission. We just need a fanny in a seat. And yet there are real needs that federal agencies do have to meet this way. And if you're a small business staffing firm with some traction, then this can be a steady piece of business for you.
Cool. We're going to take our final break. We'll come up and wrap up on FY14 and what's coming up in 15 and what people should be doing. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Welcome back to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Final segment with Cameron Luthy of Bloomberg Government and Larry Allen. Not the final segment. Final segment for today. We'll be back. and Larry Allen of Allen Federal. we haven't talked about GSA schedules at all in this mix of end of FY, beginning of FY. They were down a bit. So what's going on?
Schedules use overall has been down a bit. Mark, and it shrinks as the government spending shrinks as well. However, in terms of Q4, I think there's every reason to think that the schedules program as a whole will do quite well. Certainly the IT schedule is the largest IT contract in the government. It's kind of like one of the old Yogi Berra-isms, and nobody goes there. It's so crowded. So somebody's doing business off of the IT-70 schedule. Similarly, though, you have schedules that are set up to do things like furniture. Furniture is a traditional big year-end buy. I know there are a lot of furniture companies who are hoping that that trend remains the same.
You and I know a lot of them.
That's right, this year. But copiers, managed print services, scientific equipment, all of the things that we alluded to earlier in terms of non-enterprise type acquisitions, and yet they are the meat and potato types of things that agencies need to do their daily jobs, and the schedules are an easy place for them to get the latest technology, get it quickly. If they want small business credit, they can do that. And get them at a very reasonable price. GSA's management taking particular steps to ensure price reasonableness on the program right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, everything you said, you know, you walk into an office, you need a chair, you need a printer or access to the print services, et cetera. So it's not an office.
Get that all through the schedules. And of course, let's not forget that the majority of items bought through the schedule are professional services. That's going to continue to be a strong area, particularly in managed business improvement services, potentially things like scientific and engineering services. Even as we get OASIS rolled out, the kind of the sister GWAC, if you will, to the service schedules, those schedules are positioned to do very well in Q4.
Okay. Cameron, you want to jump in there?
In our look at the big categories of spending based on the OMB object class categorization, one of the things we noticed was that supplies and materials, and not all of them will be bought through the schedules, but a lot will. There's a lot of fourth quarter buying, just like Larry said. And a couple of agencies stood out. DHS, Homeland Security. You know, we've got a back of the envelope estimate that they've got about $280 million to spend in that bucket, in that category, between now and the end of the year. That's real money. NASA is much smaller, but you know, if that's your customer, you know, there we've done a calculation that there are somewhere in the order of around $50 million, with an M, okay, between now and the end of the year on supplies.
Get a few people excited with
that. Yeah, no, that would be NASA's jubilee or something.
Yeah, we're going back to the moon.
Yeah, and of course, DoD is huge. Q4. Supplies, it's, you know,
right.
Think how big the operation is. You know, as Larry said, and you said, Mark, that's a lot of desks. That's a lot of computers. That's a lot of toner. That's a lot of, you know, skid pads for chairs.
Right.
And it all adds up, mm-hmm, and it's all good money, good opportunities. So I think the fourth quarter is traditionally a good one for schedule contracts, and there's every reason to believe that this will be a good one as well.
Right. On the commodity side, we've always seen a nice spike, especially for the companies that understand how to reach their customers and to be able, you know, be a little more flexible on price at the end of the year as well.
Well, there's the salient in what you had to say, and that is that the contractors are the ones who have to promote this program. GSA, by its own admission, does not have a lot of marketing juice behind the schedules program. It likes to push assisted services and some of the GWACs like Alliant and now Oasis. So if you're a contractor on the schedule, this is your ball to run with.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They've set it up. Now you've got to pick up the ball and run.
That's right.
Question for you, Larry. On the use of schedules for services, how much does DoD use schedules for services?
That's an interesting question, Cameron, and I think they probably, by volume, are the largest user. However, the schedule only allows DoD or anybody to buy services on either a time and material or firm fixed price basis. And we've seen DoD particularly moving away from time and materials.
Sure.
And I think the challenge there for GSA is not everything can be done firm fixed price, but there's no cost plus capability today on a schedule contract. So I think that's one of the real reasons why GSA put Oasis into place, because you can do cost plus against that contract. So today, the schedules are doing well. I know that the schedule people in GSA want to add a cost-plus capability, at least for some firms on contract. That's a direction that the agency is going to have to go in if they expect DoD, their largest customer, to continue to use that schedule vehicle.
And in the meantime, of course, DoD is heavily reliant on multiple award contracts where they have a little more flexibility for advisory and assistance services, you know, helping them write a report, do an analysis,
right,
that, you know, even staff augmentation, which you talked about a little earlier.
Yes, and those things still do get done, even though there are policies that recommend very limited use of them. There are still projects that need to happen at the end of the day, and that's how it's affected through that program.
Okay, so we have a couple minutes left here. Regardless of election outcome and continuing resolution, what types of programs are going to remain hot? I'm assuming health IT will still be there, Cloud, but you know, let's do the relatively short list, but don't omit anything if you think it's really going to be up there.
Cybersecurity that transcends IT, Mark. There's going to be a lot of IT spend on cyber, but a lot of non-IT spend on cyber as well. You mentioned health IT. Cloud is certainly one that after 4 or 5 years of talking about it, we're actually seeing some dollars committed to it now. Anything that has to do with security, not just national security, airport security, transportation security. I'm sure Cameron has others.
Yeah, I think your last point is really salient here. Homeland Security's budget's been relatively flat for a while, but they're heavily dependent on contractors to execute their mission. And I think the latest events along the southwest border will in some ways give them a bit of a relief, if you will, from that flat budget pattern. And certainly they can't do much without contractor help. So that's a big pocket, I think. And I think health services, too, and management of health services. You think about the big health operations that are federal or federally mandated, federally funded, and so on and so forth. HHS is still implementing the Affordable Care Act, and there are a lot of ripples associated with that, setting up the exchanges, for example. So there are, that you know, consulting, as advisory and assistance services related to that, helping the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. You know, they get extra money at CMS, at Social Security, and at Treasury to find waste, fraud, and abuse. There's a calculus that's been made by the Congress, by GAO, that for every dollar spent on that, the recoupment to the federal taxpayer is significant. So there's an area where you can certainly see a little more high-end opportunities for contractors.
Well, you know, I've had this issue before, but I think if you attach somewhat harsher criminal penalties to people committing the fraud part, that maybe there would be a reduction. So it's, I don't view it as a white collar crime. I view it as a stick up.
maybe with a surgical mask.
Yeah. Well, there. Yes, exactly. But but regardless, so give me some final thoughts here. What do companies need to do to stay relatively healthy in this game?
Mark, my advice to companies would be, don't try to be everywhere at once. Pick your battles. If you have been working on some opportunities, those are the ones that you should continue to focus on. Doesn't mean you don't look at other things, but you don't want to be the type of person that gets distracted easily this time of year. You want to stay focused. Understand that September 30th, again, will be the longest day on the calendar. And that you should really keep an eye on what happens for FY15 while you're doing FY14 business. And my last gasp recommendation is that, look, when FY14 is over, go out and avail yourself of a training class.
Or two, yeah.
Or two, because you want to make sure that you're up to date on the latest rules and regulations, the latest ethics requirements, and don't just have that be for your contract folks. Your sales team ought to go too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to follow up on that. I think one of the things that I would say is, I would echo first Larry's point that it's not just getting money on contract quickly before the end of the year, but doing it smartly. So you're well positioned to survive and make money during a most likely protracted continuing resolution. But I'd also say that, bear in mind, in October, Congress is going to leave town. They're going to run home to run for re-election. And that's a good time to do a lot of things, including the training that Mark and you and Larry talked about. But also, you know, that might be the opportunity to start building a relationship with your customer when there's no pressure for year-end sales, when there's no immediate recompete on the horizon, when there's, you know, the current work is just going to be chugging along. That's the opportunity to shape the next opportunity. So just because no new starts are allowed under a CR doesn't mean that you should neglect your customer.
Yep. And there you go. And I'll pick up a little bit on Larry's thing. Larry offers on a pretty regular basis training through Allen Federal. And having seen Larry speak at a number of venues, I know that this training is quite good. My company also offers training on social media, particularly LinkedIn. We have our first B2G content boot camp coming up. If you're not taking content from Bloomberg and copy, talking about it, leveraging, putting your spin on it, you're missing massive opportunities. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in.
Mark, thanks a lot. Always appreciate the opportunity.
Great to be here, Mark.
Thank you both. And again, this is not my day job. If your company needs training, particularly on LinkedIn, give me a call. You can reach me at mark@federaldirect.net. And thank you very much for listening to AmTower Off-Center.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center, sponsored by General Dynamics Information Technology. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.